Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences. Itineraries and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at stevenspointarea.com.
When David Lee Rothenberg heads into the backcountry, he takes his clarinet to play jazz with the birds. Rothenberg's a philosopher as well as a jazz musician. He's written a book that has a companion CD. They're both called Why Birds Sing. Rothenberg told Steve Paulson why he loves making music with these unusual collaborators.
It really opens up a way of communicating with something beyond the human world. What can you do with birds? How can you react to all these wonderful sounds they're making? Well, you can study them, you can try and figure them out, you can measure them, you can count them, but you can stop all that and just play along with them, and then you can create this communication where you really are not sure what's happening, but somehow a new interspecies music seems to come out. That's kind of what led me to travel all the way to Australia, go into the rainforest and play along with the bird which perhaps has the most complex song of any in the world, the Albert's lyrebird, L-Y-R-E, which has got a tail, the shape of the ancient Greek instrument, the lyre, and a song that's so ornate and involved it takes him 6 years to learn to sing it. I really wanted to see what would happen if I brought a clarinet out there.
So what did you do? You went out into the woods somewhere and found one of these lyre birds?
I went along with one particular ornithologist, Sid Curtis, the same man who took the French composer Olivier Messiaen to hear a lyre bird in the 1980s. And I tracked him down. I said, what if I wanted to go play music with this bird? Would you take me? And he said, well, you know, when I used to be director of the Queensland Parks Department, I made it illegal for anyone to play the tape of a lyrebird song back to him in the forest, because I did it once and I saw what happened to him. He completely freaked out. He completely went crazy and never heard anything like that. His exact own song, you know, back right at him. I said, well, I wouldn't do that. I'd play something a little different. He said, well, never mind. I retired a long time ago. I won't turn you in. And so we went there, and in fact, this bird is so shy that there's only one individual Albert's lyrebird who can stand the sight of human beings. And these guys have been studying him for 25 years, this one bird.
So what happened then when you finally found him?
Well, you know, they also said, oh, he's probably still going to run away if you play these strange sounds, you know. But that wasn't what happened, because none of us had realized that when a male Albert's lyrebird begins his song, once he starts singing this song, he cannot stop. It's the strongest will inside him to keep going. He's got to finish the whole song with its various parts. And so there's a strange clarinet in the way. He's got to adjust to this. He's got to keep going and acknowledge this somehow. But he changed the order a little bit. He left some things out. He did respond in a way such that Sid Curtis says, well, I do believe you're getting to George. You are affecting him somehow. It's not what I expected.
When you're playing music with birds, do you feel like you're entering their world in some way, that you're becoming kind of bird-like yourself?
Oh, certainly. Yes, certainly. In a way that's very hard to describe. But I feel that, you know, I'm at least musically being pulled into this world where there are other rules. And, you know, if we don't know what's going on in his mind.
So are you improvising as well? I mean, are you responding to what you're hearing from the bird?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Well, I try and specifically not to do is to just copy the bird and sing his exact song. I'm more interested in the inexact, something that's not quite the song. How does the bird react then? And believe that I'm creating something together with the bird. Now, many scientists would say, how do you know that? You know, you're just, these birds have a much more directed, simple, clear view on what life is. Birds aren't thinking about all that. And I would say, yes, well, you might be right, but I do think that you can reach out to the natural world in many ways before you can understand it, before you can explain it. And I'm really interested in, you know, thinking further about what it means to make music at the limits of your species, limits of your worldview and your understanding, and how music can help us connect to the natural world and relate to it. When I go outside and hear bird songs, I every time I hear them in a constantly changing way, I really feel that my straight-ahead listening to the birds around me has changed through thinking about this. I hear different things.
David Rothenberg's the philosopher at the New Jersey Institute of Technology. He talked with Steve Paulson about his book and companion CD called Why Birds Sing.